Yes. Okay. Now, in terms of teen pregnancy, you know, specifically, were you surprised when you got into this job 3.5 years ago? Were you surprised at the incidence of teen pregnancy within the schools?
No.
No? You had seen this as a nurse then?
I believe because of my experience in labor and delivery and the amount of teenagers that we delivered every day, it didn't surprise me at all.
Well, just generally, we seem to have, this is something that New Mexico is kind of famous for.
Yes, for, unfortunately, yes.
Right, for a lot of teen pregnancy and a high rate of that. And what do you attribute that?
It's really hard to pinpoint. Okay. I have a lot of thoughts, and most of those are just my opinions. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of teenagers, I don't believe that they always know the responsibility associated with being a teen parent.
Okay.
And the amount of work that it takes to do that. A lot of times, girls just, they want to have a baby. They want somebody to love. Mm-hmm. You know, not all of them are like that, but a lot of teens, that's just, you know, that's really kind of what they're after.
So the public impression, I think, a lot of times is that teen pregnancy is always accidental, that it's a surprise, it's a result of lack of protection or adequate planning or protection, but it's actually really deliberate.
I think in some cases it is.
Yes.
Some teenagers, yes.
Okay.
Not all of them by any means. Right. I think there are a lot of accidental pregnancies that mm-hmm. occur. I think the majority of the teenagers know where to get protection and how to get protection, and they've been educated in many different settings about that.
Okay. We're going to talk about that, about education.
And we do a lot in the school, and I think some homes it's a topic that's discussed, right. And I think in some homes it's not a topic that's discussed.
Okay, and all of those are probably factors.
I think so.
You know, in this. Well, let's talk about the education process and what Hobbs Schools the school system does specifically to try to educate teens, boys and girls, about pregnancy and about sexually transmitted diseases and just about the process of sex and the consequences themselves. Let's talk about that, and then we'll get into, what happens once a girl is pregnant. We'll talk about statistics. You've got facts and figures on how many girls have been in the system this past year, particularly of that. So let's talk about the education process. What do the schools do, and when, and how early, how young?
We start actually in fifth grade. With what's called a growth and development class that teaches the fifth graders, and these are boys and girls, about the human anatomy, menstrual cycles, hygiene, just kind of a touch-all on the human body.
Okay. How often is that? Is that a class within the, is that a full-time class within the grade, or is that just an occasional lesson that comes in?
It's actually just a lesson that is presented by the nurses and the social workers counselors at each of our fifth grade classes.
And is it mandatory for the students to go to that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So all students in fifth grade get exposed to this. How long does that lesson run? Is that like an hour-long program or something like that?
It's just a couple of hours.
A couple of hours. Okay. Yes. Okay. And the after the fifth grade, what happens?
Then we go into a program in sixth grade that we actually just changed 3 years ago that's called Choosing the Best.
Okay.
And this is a program that really what it does is promote your self-esteem, you know, that your body is your own and how you deal with the things that affect your body.
Okay.
And which, of course, goes into, we touch a little bit on sexually transmitted diseases and really more the consequences of what happens if you engage in sexual activity.
Okay.
And it's an abstinence-based program.
It is abstinence-based.
Yes.
Okay.
And again, it is boys and girls.
Okay.
And it is actually a total of a six-hour course.
Wow.
And this is the nurses and the counselors, social workers also teach that. And they either do like 2 3-hour classes, mm-hmm. 3 2-hour classes. We kind of let the schools decide, you know, what works best for them.
Okay.
And these, we have parental permission to do that.
I see.
We
okay.
send out permission slips. And the majority of the students participate.
They do.
Not all of them, but the majority do.
You do see some parents who say, I'd rather not, that my child not do that.
Yes.
Okay. Percentage-wise, is it fairly low?
Or? Very low.
an invitation.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And in terms of do you have students come to the nurse or sometimes or in the course of nurses observing students, do they see and sometimes suspect that there is sexual activity going on and possibly, stuff other than just pregnancy as a result of that going on that affects students, their health and their behavior? And what happens there? Do students go to the nurse sometimes and nurses see that? If a nurse sees something or thinks they see something, what can they do if the student hasn't come to them?
A lot of our students do go to our nurses.
Okay.
A lot of them do, especially in our secondary schools.
Okay.
A lot of them feel comfortable enough with the nurses to go and talk to them about, you know, birth control, pregnancy, sexual behavior, those kind of things.
Okay.
Most of the nurses are very comfortable with that because for us, you know, that's just a fact.
Okay.
That's part of the human body.
Right.
That's just something that we deal with all the time.
Okay.
We work pretty closely with the health department where they can go to family planning, you know, and those kind of things. So
okay.
We do a lot of referrals to a lot of physicians, you know, trying to get kids into where they can get some help. They can get the tools that they need to practice safe sex or, you know, have birth control, whatever it is that they need. Most of the time, students that do become pregnant, they will go to the nurse and talk to her about that,
you know,
about what they can do. And our nurses spend a lot of times, again, referring our students to physicians so they get prenatal care and those kind of things.
But okay. So once that does happen, of course, if that fact has not been acknowledged in some way, you know, personally or within the family, the nurse can step in and say, okay, try to direct the student to get help.
Yes.
Do communications between students and nurses, is that privileged? Is it is it confidential?
Yes.
Is the nurse not able to tell that to anybody, including the parents, without permission?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It's all good information. And the nurse, you've said in a lot of schools, the nurse is there full time. So a student knows where the nurse's office is and what to go there for. And teachers know, of course, and to send them for if they've got a headache and they want aspirin.
Yes.
It could be that simple.
Yes.
Or if they get hurt out on the playground or something. Is this the role that I'm assuming is right in terms of the school nurse? And an open door policy in terms of coming in and talking about advice and treatment and stuff.
And a lot of the teachers are really, really good about sending the students to the nurse if they suspect any behavior that's even out of the ordinary.
Abuse?
Yes, abuse and like children
inappropriate,
that are cutters.
Inappropriate activities.
Suicidal.
Okay.
And our nurses, you know, we have a lot of wonderful counselors, and the nurses and the counselors work very closely together with a lot of our students from, you know, K through 12.
Okay.
Trying to take care of all of them.
Just a reminder, in case you're just hearing the show and you're just tuning in, you're in the middle of media meeting. We have about 13 minutes left in the program, and our guest is Tammy James, the head nurse for the Hobbs School System. And our topic is sex education, teenage pregnancy, and sexual activity among school children in Hobbs. And we've talked about the education program that's available and the role that the school nurses play. Let's talk about the consequences. Once a girl is pregnant, we're going to find out what happens. First of all, let's find out how many girls within the Hobbs school system were pregnant this last year. This, of course, with graduation having taken place about a week ago, within this past week. Okay, we're going to get to that. So how many were we looking at this past
year? This year we had 64, and they range from 8th grade to seniors.
8th grade to 12th grade.
Which is actually down. And I always say that really cautiously.
Okay.
We had 81 the previous year, and we're down
from 81
to 64.
Interesting.
And that's always a positive sign, and we like that.
Yes.
But please remember, too, that there may be pregnant girls out there that we never know about.
Okay.
And most, like I told you, most of the teens, when they're pregnant, they will go see the nurse and for various reasons.
Okay.
And once they have the baby, that they are put on homebound for 6 weeks so that they can have their postpartum period with their babies.
Okay.
And Most of the time we may catch them then.
Right.
But we may have pregnant students that we don't know about.
Okay. From 81 to 64, fairly significant drop. Mm-hmm. Now, the population of the students is about the same or more. So that actually, I mean, that truly is a percentage that's going down. It's not because there are fewer students at the schools.
Oh, no, we have more students.
About how many students are there in the schools total, do you know?
It is now about 8,300.
8,300 for Hobbs schools, okay. So 64 girls. And you said once they become pregnant, of course, once they've had the baby, they have mandatory, what, 8 weeks?
6 weeks.
6 weeks
yes.
Homebound after
yes.
that, which means they can't go to school. They can't take classes with their peers. They have to stay and do homebound studies.
They do mommy
and
stuff.
Do mommy stuff with their new baby. All right. Now, once they are pregnant and they know they're pregnant or it's acknowledged that they're pregnant, the things I understand things are a little different now than they were before. Before, weren't girls who were pregnant immediately shuttled into a program that was separate from the Hobbs School, that was out of the mainstream with the rest of the students.
Yes.
Is that right?
Like when we were in school,
okay.
Very rare when we
right.
were in school,
right.
the one or two girls that did get pregnant went to night school.
Night school,
yeah.
right.
And,
an alternative,
and, right.
you know, program.
And now, not the case. They stay in school, and many still participate in their extracurricular activities.
Okay.
They still do as much as they can.
Until what point?
Until either the doctor says so, they go into labor, okay. you know, anything like that. But
okay.
they
so
stay right along
they
with
they stay
us.
Right in the same, in the yes. class and
many
with
are going
everybody
to
else.
School the day they have their baby.
if they choose. Now, if they want to go into the alternate school,
yes.
because there is an alternate school that is for what kind of students?
A variety.
Okay.
A huge variety.
Okay.
I mean, there is a big variety of
and
students that are
off classes are actually in daytime now.
Yes.
They're not at night, but it's an actual physical, a different building. It's physically different from it's on the campus of the Hobbs High School, but it's different from the mainstream students.
Yes.
And now, but they have the option. They can either stay in
yes.
class that they want with yes. their peers, or they can go to the alternate school.
Yes.
And how often do they, in addition to getting medical treatment or checkups from their physician, do they also get into a program with the school nurse once they're pregnant? Do you or your staff see them in addition to their checkups with their regular doctor?
Usually
no?
not.
Okay.
Unless they have any type of problems during the day at
okay.
school.
Right.
And a lot of them just have questions for the nurses. And
uh-huh.
because most of the time they have developed a rapport with the nurse,
right.
they feel very comfortable going to speak with her about
okay.
any issues they may have.
Okay.
But not necessarily. Some,
right.
like I said, they never see. They never know they're even there.
Do you have a problem sometimes with parents who object to the fact that a nurse is available to their students and that anything that the student says to the nurse is confidential and that the nurse does not have to, outside of any abusive situation or criminal type of activity that they suspect, the nurse does not have to go to the parents and can't talk to them? Do you have some parents who feel like that's not right or they get mad about that?
You know, most of the time not. I think most parents are very happy that there is a support system at school or at least away from home
okay.
that they can seek health
okay.
care and help if
okay.
they need it. We really, for the
don't
most
see
part,
that.
Don't have an
okay.
issue.
So it's not people.
And I will tell you, I mean, you know, if a student comes in to the nurse and they mm-hmm. feel like that they may be pregnant and they find out they're pregnant
right.
and they haven't told the anyway. Family,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times the nurse is there with them, you know, kind of
okay.
helping them. This is what, you know, you need to speak with your parents,
right.
your family, your guardians,
okay.
whoever you're with. And they really encourage them to share information with them, you know, so there's a big support
right.
system because that's very important.
Does sometimes does a girl suspect she's pregnant, but she hasn't done her own home pregnancy kit? And does she ask for that through the schools or ask for the nurse to do that? And does
mm-hmm.
the nurse provide that and
yes.
to discover
yes.
sometimes if it's positive, if the test is positive?
Yes.
Okay.